to the economy now, and suddenly we have a lot of data points on the slowing of growth around the world. We got one yesterday. Last April, after originally reporting 1.8% growth, which was better than expected, the government has actually revised that figure, and the first quarter only expanded by 0.4%. Dismal news. It comes as we learn that the GDP growth in Germany is actually about a tenth of a percent. There's also slowing going on in China and Brazil. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. I mean, there's no place to hide, at least in terms of seeking growth. There may be growth in China, but it's slowing. And these numbers are not boding well for the idea that America is going to escape a second recession.
Well, and you know, John, even though these numbers are estimates, they're really important in the stock markets and the economy. So every quarter when you see the GDP figures come out in the U.S., for instance, it's a measure of how much the economy is growing or shrinking. And when you see that, if it's good, the stock market goes up. If it's bad, it typically goes down. And that's because people are more optimistic if they think the economy has been growing. And that can be a little bit self-fulfilling. So at the beginning of this year, when everyone thought the economy was growing by 1.8, that meant, you know, on the margin, consumers might have gone out and spent more money, companies more. And so this revision that actually the truth, the reality was not so rosy as we thought it was, is probably accounting for some of the retrenchment we're seeing now.
Although, you know, Dow futures are really marginally up for the next 5 minutes. You know, they've been bouncing around as they have been for the last week or so in an experience of volatility in global markets all over the world. There seems to be a pattern, though, where we're consistently seeing now the revision being much more pessimistic than the original estimate in the GDP number because it is so important. Why?
Well, you know, these are really estimates. And what the economists at the Commerce Department, which puts this figure out, what they do is they estimate how much consumers and companies and the government is spending. And then they deduct from that our trade deficit, or if we had a trade surplus, they'd add that to it. But so they're literally sitting there saying, how much are people spending on their cell phone bills? How much are companies spending on construction? And they don't get reports. You know, the AT&T doesn't tell them what you're spending, John. And so they have to
estimate it.
I'm glad about that. Right. And so they have to estimate it. And a lot of times these estimates are wrong. And there were two things in particular that were wrong with their estimate in the beginning of this year. So one thing is they had some private data from a company called Wards, a random company out there, about the dollar value of automobiles sitting on car dealer lots. And it turns out that data showed that those automobiles were shrinking by like $30 billion. So that would imply that consumers were out buying a lot of cars. But then Wards came back a few months later and said, no, only by $17 billion. And so they revised it. And so that told the Commerce Department people were not buying as many cars as they thought they were.
So inventory declines did not translate into greater sales, which therefore didn't translate into GDP numbers.
And then the other factor was that people spent a lot more on oil than they expected. And that, of course, goes into the trade deficit. And so they had to dock our GDP for that one, too.
And, you know, part of it is that there's volatility not only on the markets, but there's volatility within the time that you make the estimate and the time that the actual data comes in. And, you know, that's just something that affects all government statistics. The producer price index we're going to get later this morning. That's right.
That could be revised, too.
There you go. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.